But why do you guys go slow when you are saying that? It's very kanjengo, kamekulu, nkwanyok. I don't know why people go slow.
Well, at least I tried. Ask some of them not to point any fingers.
No, I flow.
I didn't want to let you guys go because looking at what I'm going to present today, I don't know if I'm going to discuss. I mostly do this alone. I think if I go to university and I say I'm having a lecture, I will have probably 5 people or 4 people in my lecture room. So in my lecture room today, I'm going to look at history. And you guys are some of the historian here.
Well, thank you for the promotion, but go on.
Yeah, but look, because I'm looking at this thing like most of our leaders or people in particular positions, if you look at the moves that they are making in terms of empowering local people, in terms of doing something deliberate, you know, there is a lack of political will and deliberate effort to make certain things change. So my hypothesis now is to say, we have these colleagues who have studied in UK, in Europe, or just have a different life. And because they do not know so much history about themselves, about the country, about the people they went through, is why they are not making a deliberate effort. Because if you do not know your history, what you guys went through, how will you push for something to change? And again, I was in a meeting where we mentioned black empowerment, and we were stopped. The chairperson said, no, all of us are Namibian, no more racing or using such type of word of black empowerment. And I almost flipped, but it was not my platform to jump.
Yeah.
And we were hustling. We were hustling.
Yeah.
So, and now I've realized that for people who do not have this economic reality that certain people have faced in the past, are so quick to disregard when there is a call for empowerment. So, and this is now I bring in the concept of like, when you do not know your history, when you do not know your history, what is the foundation that you are standing on? What is pushing you? What is leading you? Because I'm looking at certain political guys and like, okay, why are they not pushing for certain directives that are empowering Namibians? Whether you are from Rehoboth, whether from your Zambezi, like it should go to Namibian. And the criteria should not only be that because you qualify, there should be that criteria because you went through that economic reality back then. Giving back resources is just not about we are giving you a farm. It's also through the procurement system to say we are giving you a portion of the economy in such a way. We know we cannot give you land now, but given that historical injustice, so we are making it deliberate to include you. So what is your take in that those who do not know history might be the people who are failing us? What is your take in that? So yeah, I think I've pitched and you guys were listening carefully, so please, before you go.
Well, if you tie it in, Kanjengo, with what Helmut and I just analyzed today, we see a deliberate positioning basically of civil society taking over the discussion to ensure implementation of development needs happens.
Yeah.
Because you can't, we can't, for example, 30 years later, you continuously see that schools require more space.
Yep.
Yeah.
A school that was built in 1970, so we are counting 60 years back.
Yeah.
School built then only was meant for 500 learners. Now you've got 1,500 learners.
Yeah.
There's already a ratio, an imbalance in terms of the ratio of learner to teacher effectiveness. The teachers are communicating to the principals to the, what do they call those guys?
Inspectors or something.
Yeah, the inspectors, regional directors.
Regional directors. Those guys then to the...
All the way to the ministry.
Ministry, to the executive director, and then to the minister.
Yeah.
That the teacher-learner ratio is imbalanced.
Yeah, it's overwhelming the human resources. Yeah.
2 years back in 2021, just when we had that in and out of lockdowns, we had the correctional services here in Windhoek build a few classroom extensions to a primary school in Kommersdal, and I think there was another one also in Karatura. This obviously meant existing infrastructure needed to be upgraded.
Mm.
They were utilizing, if you look at it in a very, very, not to say to look down on the correctional services, but the labor they used, you know, was not labor that you can pay for.
Yeah,
they were all convicts. Don't worry. The guys that were doing the job were convicts. Mm. So they were utilizing Namibians who were not going to get a salary.
As a form of a rehabilitation process.
Yeah, but also as a giving back mechanism, you know, because they were also testing their VT, their, what you call it, their vocational skills. You also get taught bricklaying, mechanics, and tanning, and leathering, and other particular... That's why I keep saying there's an economy in the economy that's kept in the public economy.
Yeah.
It's in the correctional services.
Yeah.
However, that was not enough because those were only two schools that I knew about.
Mm.
There are schools across the country that also need further expansions, upgrades, and more classrooms.
Mm.
How quickly can that be done? Because it's not to say every parent wants to have their kid come to school.
Mm.
Now, the downside is you've got to entice local content, meaning you need a construction company.
Mm.
Let's, for example, say in Okambai.
Mm.
If any of you have been to Okambai, it's just out 30 k's outside of Omaruru.
Yeah.
Okambaye, you have gravel roads.
Mm.
There's a police station.
Mm.
There's not a court building. There's not a. There's a local constituency office there.
Mm.
There are schools there.
Yeah.
I think one of Namibia's liberation schools is there. I keep forgetting that school. But the school has not been at that process. In 2019, they were busy, you know, renovating the school or fixing the burnt part of the school that was burnt down in 1990 or 1989. Yes, look at that expression.
Mm.
The school, that side of the school, the historic part of the school, had stood dilapidated.
Mm.
Since 1999.
Since that time, since the 80s.
And now, isn't that now...
Wait, 1999 or 1980?
80, in the 80s.
Okay.
Isn't that now not enough? That's what I'm saying. That because you have people that are surrounding the school that are working in education, they do not understand the magnitude of what happened in that school.
Yeah.
So now that lack of understanding of history or knowledge of history is now what is actually... Because they do not have that. They do not have that deliberate or that energy to change things. Because if you knew what those people went at the hand of the colonizers or the people who are in charge, you will move faster.
And the school has history. The school has history, ne?
Yeah.
Because the lady that's the, she's the secretary of the school.
Mm.
She finished school there. She's from the community.
Then what is wrong? Because look, do you know why I'm doing this? When people talk about liberation struggle kids, I don't jump into say, oh my goodness, why? They are lazy. No, I don't do that. I don't do that because... Until you understand where they are coming from, because I have some of them, I knew some of them.
Yeah.
Until you understand what they went through, until you get to such a level or you understand the history of what the people went through, not the one you are listening, which is distorted, the real, real one. Because look, I'm from a village where the biggest base of South Africa is.
Mm.
And I understood how many of those mines were there and how people were terrorized.
Mm.
So now... If a person comes from that village and say, I had no access to go to school. And it's not because I didn't want. No, I'm from a village where...
The personal safety was
an limited. Issue,
yeah.
So you have to... if you do not have that history, perhaps you are not there. And perhaps it was not presented in the way that we wanted to be presented. Because history now is presented from Europe, unlike from Namibia. So when you do not have that historical context of what people go and you get in certain position of power, especially economic power, will you do what is necessary? Will you understand when I walk into the room that, hey bro, I was disadvantaged?
Mm.
Will you understand me? Or must I teach you history to explain why am I disadvantaged? And that is my pitch.
And on top of that,
Kanjengo,
obviously we now know that we're 3 million people.
Yeah.
So in between people that were of the same age range, like what you highlighted now, have had children. Now, you're obviously looking towards what the future provides for these children.
Yeah.
Because like Helmut and I now indicated, you've got civil society that's trying to also primarily...
Step in and push.
Like bridge the gap.
Be the bridge between implementation on the ground and what policies guide the government or guide the economy.
Mm.
They wish to say, listen, guys, you can go and look at your community. You see that the road is being fixed.
Yeah.
A road is being tarred. Or something is being built at least.
Mm.
You don't have to wait for your constituency officer somewhere in a political capacity to come make promises every 5 years.
Yeah.
Or request through promises that you vote for him or her every 5 years. Now, based upon that picture, in some scenarios, unfortunately, the history still exists in this country where you can see if something like COVID comes through, the resilience is not there in the economy.
Yeah, because people did not base any good foundation.
Yeah, there's no good foundation. We had no good foundation.
Yeah, and when it comes to wealth building, where does wealth building start? It does not start today. It means if these people had no good foundation, that should be your basis now as an economic powerhouse, trade facilitator, politician. Because if you understand that well, for most of the people who own farms here, they didn't buy them. They were passed on.
Yeah.
It was wealth being built. Now when you have a certain group of people saying that, if you look into the history, I was never part of those who were benefiting. So have deliberate effort in everything that you do to ensure that you channel or you bring me in, you include me in an economy. Not only by giving me a farm, because we are mistaken. The economy is so big that there is a better way to include them. But if these people that are in charge of inclusion have no historical context of what they should do it, will they do it? Now, Helmut.
You know, it's a good thing you use the word inclusion there because, let me take you back to the event you attended where you told, no, you can't talk about this. I'm not a psychological expert, so don't take psychological expert from me. Say you came home, right, and found your partner with someone in bed. So are you going to just, so you're just going to take them out and then say, you know what, from now on, let's never have the conversation of what took place here.
Yeah. No,
try that in your relationship. Try that.
Or the partner tells you, you did not see this.
You did not see this.
Never talk about it.
But we continue the marriage.
Yeah.
Look, after this, after the Second World War, one of the things that basically the international community came to an agreement of is what happened in the, in Nazi regime must never happen again, which is where we draw, the phrase "never again" came. That was in reference to what happened during, what the Nazi regime perpetrated must never happen again. What's going on in Gaza? A lot of historians would argue that what's going on there, it's somewhat a repetition what we said never again. It's because we decided, you know what, I think we can solve this problem by never talking about it.
Yes,
it
but doesn't happen. Talk a portion about it.
It doesn't happen. Like the relationship example I'm giving you. You can't just walk into your partner, or so your partner cannot walks in you with another woman. You can't just tell them that, you know what, you didn't see anything. From now on, never ask me, let's not talk about it. That piece is not going to rain, Baba. She will, boil cooking oil for you. Because anger is brewing. Like, as much as we find some of these conversations uncomfortable, having them is better than not having them.
Yeah.
Look, we can just go ahead and pretend. We can pretend like we don't have grudges.
Yeah. And that is now, it bring me to this level to say, you know, we are making a lot of noise. We are shouting and we are shouting. Look, nowadays kids, they do not want to learn history.
Gabriel, this is actually what pisses me off every time that I turn on to Western media, because they have the exact same problem with regards to slavery. They call it, is it critical race theory? There's a huge debate on whether or not it should be taught in schools.
Yeah.
But in their schools.
Obviously, in their schools. Yeah. Because, we have an equivalent here, which, again, it's one of those, like, we are walking in eggshells every time we have this conversation. But the question is, should we?
Yeah. Look, and for many people, when we talk about Somnium, I know people look at me differently. But I have a problem when...
I am looking at you differently.
Should we look at you differently?
you should. It's okay.
Yeah.
I have a problem when every book that I read about my history is only him.
Mm.
That is a problem that I have.
Yeah.
But you know what? I listened to Nalwanda over the weekend. I almost cried.
Yeah.
I almost cried when this woman was telling us a story about one of the Ukwanyama king, Tate Gulumandume. I almost cried. And I'm like, where is this? Look, I'm partially Kwanyama, and I do not know this.
Where's the information about this person's history?
Yeah, his father's head was also cut off. It's not only Mandumi was cut off. So even the Portuguese, they cut off his father's head. That's how they killed him. And also when the Boers went there, they also did cut off his Mandumi's head. Dude, I didn't know. And that head. And I tell people, like, then if you do not have that head in you, what will you do to empower others? Yeah. Because it's, the hat should not only be used for me to go demonstrate and kill people. Mm. No, it should be used for me to empower myself, to empower my people, to do what is necessary for them to uplift them.
Mm.
Because people are afraid that we will get angry of what happened. Even though I was telling my friend, like, if we knew history, like the way we are being told somehow now,
yeah,
no reconciliation will happen. It happened because so, most people know nothing.
Okay, so our fear is that if we have the conversation, we will ruin the stable democracy we have built.
Maybe. Oh.
But it's also a picture.
So it's basically based on the fear that you don't want to put it out there because you don't know how some people will react towards that information.
Yeah. Now I have leaders who know nothing.
That's interesting.
Mm. Now I have a leader who I'm going to go in knocking his door to say, dude, I went through this.
Mm.
Our field was destroyed. I never got the chance to go to school. I never got the chance to be at the level where you were sent to UK to go study. I didn't.
Mm.
So please, I'm a hardworking man. All I need, give me the tender. Guide me. I will work.
Yeah.
Now I have to go through the same system where I have to fill papers. Where, look, we have adopted the stupid economy where we are normalizing everything.
Or now, you've got to go and apply from a bank.
Yeah.
With, unfortunately, the bank asking you must have a title deed to that land, mm, but you know you can't own the land.
Because these people are ignorant.
Because it's communal land.
Yeah, and where they say that cannot have a collateral.
And the three of us know that communal land is government land.
Guys, look, we're ignoring history. Look, this, you know, I get so mad of how we view history.
Mm.
And for me, it's not to attack you. For me, it's not to go take over anything. But we have to understand that
people... I hope it's not me, Kanjeng. Eh? I didn't do anything.
No, I have to... I'm looking at this guy right now. No, but look.
Yeah.
I can say I'm an angry man or whatever.
Mm.
But I wanted to understand the history, to use it to have my economic anger, to do what needs to be done.
Mm.
Look, I don't want people who are going to use history and shoot anybody and do whatever.
Yeah, no.
No,
it's obviously counterproductive, yeah.
Yes. We did great work to be at wherever we are. But for people who do not have history, I think these are the reason we're not going forward. Because if you have a man bring a whole project to Namibia and 80% is owned by someone, man, you do not know history. Because if you're going to give up your 90% of your resources to a foreign investor and you are saying it's investment, there's something wrong with you. You do not know history. When the majority of your people were not participating in an economy, and right now you are facilitating an economic deal which you have 90% foreign ownership.
Or actually looks the same as what the situation looked
was
like
in the past. Yeah. Then it means you do not know history. Because if you know the economic history of what your people go, there is no way, and I'm saying no way in hell, you will allow any investment proposal to come and it has 90% foreign ownership. Manuena, no. So, it is your colleagues. So, thank you so much.
We actually woked you up now.
For the Yeah.
Let the story begin.
Let the story begin. Yeah. Mm. But that basically, you know, sums it up for me. You know, I always picture it in a form of, you know, that relationship example. When you walk into to your partner, or your partner walks in you, does not having the conversation solve
that
the problem?
You keep using that example.
Oh, no.
I don't imagine that, man.
I'm really sorry for any men that have experienced
this. Me neither.
But it's Helmut that brought it up, not me.
Future wife, whoever you are, please don't do that to me. But obviously, that brings us to the end of these BES times with Kanjengo Kamekulu. Kanjengo Kamekulu Mkwanyoko.
Yes.
I am just at the Kamekulu. Anything else that Kanjengo throws in the middle?
You're done with it. All right, man.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6%.
6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Man. you know, it has been a while I sit in front of you. It's been a while we have done this. It's been a while I did this like live. But colleagues, a very good afternoon to you. A very good evening to you. Welcome to the business and economic segment. My name is Kanjeko Kamekulunkwanyoka. And yeah, man, it's beautiful to sit here. It's a privilege always to sit here. Present my hypothesis, present my submissions, and disagree and agree. But the main aim is just to contribute to the discourse. The main aim is just to have a conversation that will facilitate how we think, how different we are moving, and what we can do better. So that is the main aim why I do this. So as we have introduced the topic with the home run colleagues, I've been thinking all these days, or that. Because I get now to be exposed to certain circumstances. And I get one of my tasks is to observe if the economy is growing and how is it growing. And are we doing better to grow it? Are we including more people? Who is benefiting from this? And all that. And I have realized I have bumped into something that I think we have so many people perhaps who have not seen the economic reality of their people. Or have not read that historical economic reality, or they have not sat around with people who have experienced that economic reality. And maybe today, allow me to mention the Swapo government. Can you just allow me, please? Because if you have sat next to Tate Kulunaha Sangula, if you have sat to any of these colleagues, you're supposed to know. So now I'm wondering, like, to my colleagues in the Swapo government, in terms of the stories that you tell, in terms of the economic realities that you tell that were in the past, are you passing it on to some of these people that are in there, to some of these economic facilitators? Because I think, and this is just my hypothesis, it's my submission. I don't want you, please, to kill me for this. But I have said to, I've gone to offices where the word empowerment should not be used, where the word whatever should not be used. And this is the main reason we have even hidden that economic empowerment, blah, blah, police. Do you know that the president just sat on it and did not implement it? So I want now to use such a basis. We bury the whole law that is supposed to change how we do things at the economic level. Why did we bury it? Now, this is my context. That law was buried because there are people who are ignorant of the economic reality that happened. And they are not comfortable to say, can we start sharing? Can we start including? And this is when I say that if you have people in certain very important strategic position in ministries and they do not understand the economic reality that our people went through, then these are the same people who are going to make sure Namibia does not get anything. Because I want us to have a very beautiful conversation among ourselves, please. When people, the public, are demanding to have 20% in certain resources or in certain deals, it's because they are saying, can we not repeat what happened during the colonial time? Beautiful people. I want us to go back to this. Look, I was watching the oil conversation. I listened to the hydrogen colleagues. I listened to all these expert and educated people talking about oil, talking about ownership, talking about everything. But there is so much fear mongering among them. But one thing that they are not getting is that, why are the public demanding for you to increase the 10%? I want you to realize, if you go back in history, these people did not own anything. They were locked in to say, the Vambus, the Hereros here, the Namas, they do not move until you're given a permission. They were not given access to these resources. So the public is demanding you to have more ownership. And in another way, they are correcting you to say, if you go ahead to keep giving license left and right, to keep giving access to our land left and right to foreigners, you are repeating what the colonial masters did. They kept out the people and they only gave them employment. Look, the northern people only used to leave the north to come and work. Nothing else. These people were not even allowed to own a horse. And if you look at the same deals you now as a leader that you are signing, you are exchanging resources for labor. So how different it is from what the colonial government did. How different it is. That's what I'm saying. I want you to calm down. I don't want you to attack us and say, no, you people are not educated. You do not know the cost of exploring for oil, capital, risk. There is a correction in it to say, if you keep exchanging resources for labor, you are no different from what the colonial government did. And I want one of you colleagues to come and correct me to say, okay, no, during colonial we were owning. No, if you are signing any particular deal and what your people get is employment, you are no different from the colonial government. There is no difference because we were all supplying labor. We were all traveling to Luderit, to Ocho, to Windhoek to only provide labor, not to owning anything. So I'm now saying that once you put the historical context of what happened at the colonial, at an economic level, at the ownership level, at the participation level, you will agree that even in procurement, we should make a deliberate effort to include our people. Not only because they have the qualification or not, but if they say they have the courage and the energy, and they can be guided and they can be molded to become better, we have to put in such effort. Beautiful people. I'm just saying. Look, I'm a theorist. I come up with theories. I come up with solutions. But it doesn't mean that these solutions are practical. Most of the time can be implemented. But we can work around it. But for today, I want to highlight something that I've observed. The people, the technocrats, the educated people are going to be the death of us. Because many of them have no historical context of the economic atrocity that were committed to the African people and the Namibian people. And if you do not have that historical context of the economical atrocity that were done, you are the most ignorant person. You are actually don't deserve to be in any position where Namibian and other African are coming to apply. Because you will not consider what happened to them. And at this particular juncture, we need to be cognizant of what they went through. Until the proper inclusion, until they have the right foundation. Beautiful people. And guys, this is not just, you can't keep saying black empowerment. I look at people like, you are ignorant. You are ignorant. My father was prohibited from owning a horse. And you are telling me that me asking to say, I know I have only 1 year experience, but I didn't have the 10 years experience because there was no foundation to enable us to participate.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Do you have a question you want answered on air? Have a quick comment you want to share with the presenter? Eagle F.
Beautiful people. I just want to bring you to something. I want to bring you to something that if we have people who do not have, who do not know history, for me, is the most scariest thing. Because if you do not know your history where you are from, if you do not know your history where you are from, it's going to be a problem. And and while I'm here, I don't want to forget that for what Mr. Nalwanda did, or that Nalwanda did, like over the weekend, in introducing me to this literature of Mandume and everything, it actually added very well to what I wanted to present today, because I listened. And I listened and I felt bad. I felt bad. Like, why is our history not being documented? Because once you have your history and what your people went through, the anger is different. The vigor and the energy to change things is different. And that's why in Namibia, when you talk the way that I talk, you are going to be called as an activist. He's just anti-Westerner. He's anti-democracy. He's anti-capitalism. It's nonsense. Now, when you understand, when you are able to leave the pain of what your uncles and your grandmother went through, your fight will be different. Your energy will be different. Your inclusivity approach will be different. Your collaborative effort with your brothers and sisters are different. The main reason we are divided right now, we cannot work together to implement anything, is because we do not know our history. But if you know your history, even in the tip of it, if you're just paying attention to know that your mother and your grandmother were chased from where? From the suburb to go to Katutura. Just look at that pain and use it for economic building. But if you have no slightly pain from that move, from that forceful move, then your energy to implement anything that empower Africa and Namibia will not be there. You are going to work according to the international laws, according to the standard of IMF. Dude, why are you telling us about such things? You are doing things to correct the economic injustice, right? And you are doing it in a different manner. Because we have agreed we are not going to fight each other. No, we are not. But it doesn't mean we forgot the historical economic injustice that destroyed the foundation of every black kid. The main reason some of us cannot build wealth is that the last three generations behind me, they had nothing. Everything was taken from them. So it means now, if you're the officer, if you're the technocrat, if you're the procurement officer, you have no slightly understanding of the economic historical injustice done, and why I do not have 5 years and 10 years experience, and why I do not have the machinery, and why I do not have that big office or that big processing plant, is because of that. Because all of that, it is done by using capital. And the first capital comes from your family. And if your family never had any capital, where do you expect me to begin? And that's why I expect everyone in any office that is supposed to facilitate economic activities and trade and innovation to have an understanding of their history. Because the energy, the motivation should be drawn from that. We are not saying forget. No. And we are not saying remember to go start violence. No, we are saying we want you to remember so that you can help in terms of building a better economic foundation for those who are discriminated against. And if you do not have that, you are the same guy who is going to say you are attracting investment to Namibia, give up the resources ownership, and you say, we are going to create employment of 1,000 while you give up ownership. You are the same guy who will not know the difference between ownership and the creation of employment and wages. Then you scare me. I have realized that the most scary people are the people who have no history about themselves. You have no history. And when I was listening to that, in Alvanda, is like, you know, sometimes when I talk about church, people started to fight me. But when I listen to the people or Alashua Koambo, you know, or like, you know, the Boers, when they went to kill Mandume, when they went to fight Mandume, the path they used to get to Oyohole was created by Ovatumwa, the Bible people. They are the one who created the path. So they followed the path. So now I look at the people, I look at the Bible different. I look at the Christian different because of that. But if you have no context of that, you'll be the hallelujah. Oh my God, hallelujah. And I understand. But I'm saying this. If you have no history of who you are and what your people go through and where you are from, your reasoning will be different. The things that you do will be different. And I came to the realization that our inability not to work together and to collaborate and to build and to implement the things, the difference is in the history context. Many of you have studied in the UK. Many of you went there, now you can't even pick a Shindonga or speak your Damaranamo or Cherero. And which history did you learn? So that's why when you come here and I'm telling you, bro, we need to move to the left so that our people go in. You'll be like, nah, look at the standard, look at the criteria. If they are not having this, and I'm saying, I'll look at you like, we are not in a disagreement because what I'm saying is wrong. We are in disagreement because you do not know history. Your history, what your people went through. The word empowerment in an ambient context is not a word just for the sake of it. It's a word to say create a better economic foundation so that all of us can stand on the same ground. If all of us stand on the same ground, colleagues, then yes, I will agree. I'm going to go for everyone. I don't care. Because my foundation is the same as yours. But my guy, if you are starting with 100,000 from your grandfather, and for me, I have to go to school and save 100,000. Are you mad? And you expect me to make it the same move you are making? No. And this is not what I'm saying. It's the difference in knowing and understanding what happened to people, which is making us disagree. That's why when we are looking at people from NIPDB, we find them fancy. Like for me, and many of them have the same qualification as I am. But when I look at them, I look at them with different eyes because what they facilitate is different from me. You know, they're in Australia marketing Namibia. They are way, way marketing Namibia. And I'm like, I'm in Ohangwena. I'm in Ohangwena saying, guys, let us try. You know, so there is that the difference between us. But if all of us agree that for everything that we do has to have a component of history, we are not going to disagree on which economic move to make. So now, it's so beautiful, it's bananas. Man, it's amazing, actually. Because listen to that Wabison Angula and Kandode from National Planning. And you listen to that Alwendo. Then you listen to that Gulutea. This one is saying this is ours. This one is saying let us be transparent. And you can see that these people are disagreeing at the highest level. And how do we expect these bigger forces to come together and solve our economic issues when they disagree at the highest level? And I'm saying, like, if these two or couple of men, if they can know the history, the real history, especially the pain that has been endured, the economical pain of not owning a horse, the economical pain that when I leave the north, I should only be coming to work in your farm, the economic pain of not having access to capital to build something. That is the type of pain we should have so we can fix the policies and implement them. But if you do not have that type of economic pain, that historical economic pain, then you are not capable of leading Namibia in an inclusive economic growth. You will be the same guy celebrating Namibia for exporting 2 billion worth of uranium. You will be that guy. The economy has grown. 12 consecutive quarters. I look at it like, yeah, ne? You will be the same guy celebrating export of 2 million carat of diamond. You're like, yeah, ne? It's, look, the determining factor is history. And that's why I support everybody who's saying our Namibian history should be written by us. It should be compulsory. Every kid in school should learn their history. Because once you understand that where the hospital is built is where my king was laid, that my king was not actually mourned because people were scared, you know? Oh man, colleagues, history is so beautiful in such a way that at this juncture of economic building, we can use it as a weapon, as a drive, as fuel for us to restructure things. I don't like violence. I don't like violence. I know how I am. I don't like violence. I'm scared of violence. I don't want that. But we are so powerful if we can commit to fix some of the historical injustice that were done at an economic level. But we are disagreeing at every angle because the people who studied somewhere and they didn't learn anything about themselves are now the people that are saying, we cannot do that. This anti-democracy. Democracy. People are so obsessed with democracy. I don't know what it does. I want to ask you beautiful people, what does democracy do? Like, you know, like, what does it bring? Like, you know, does it solve hunger? You know, are we progressing because of democracy, or is it just something that we hide behind? I'm just saying, democracy should benefit, democracy should issues. I just don't want you to keep using it as an excuse not to move forward and to change things for the better for your people. And when we keep having this conversation, we are not saying that we are hating one. No, we are just learning that, dude, the farm that you have came from your father. Your father took it from his grandfather. His grandfather took it from somebody. Look at how the farm has been in your generation. Man, colleagues, let us be realistic. So you want me to compete with a person who they had the farm for the last four generations? And you're saying, no, the economy is people should just go to school. No, they didn't go to school. They had the four farms in their generation, in four of their generation. Man, no, everything they started, they got a loan from a bank. And I can't even qualify for a loan. So that's what I'm saying. Once you understand the historical behind that, you will move differently. And I want us to move differently. And yes, this conversation is inspired because I went into five boardrooms for the past month, five boardroom presenting. And I'm an observer. I'm a researcher. I was listening. I was paying attention. I was reading the vibe. I was looking at the energy. I was listening to the comment being made to me, being made to my partners and our capability and what we have and our experience. And I wanted to give this lecture to, do you know where I'm coming from? I want to know. I wanted to tell you where I'm from. That I'm not standing in the shoulder of anybody. I'm not. Apart, the shoulder I'm standing on is a useless degree that I have. It's a useless certificate that I have. I'm not standing on the shoulder of anybody. I have no 100 million collateral. I have nothing. So for you to stay in my eyes and ask me if I have done the same job, you are insulting me. You are insulting me. Because if my father had the chance to do it, I would have taken over his business. I would have learned from him. But guess what? I came from a village to come and attain a degree while my other colleagues are learning in their farms, in their father's company. So for you to be in front of me and demanding that from me is your lack of historical knowledge about my economic situation, where I'm from. And if you can just contextualize that and understand the magnitude of that, I'm not saying it pity me. No, I'm coming to you to tell me I am capable of doing it. But please, I do not have a collateral. I do not have access to a credit facility. I do not have bank guarantee. I don't, and they will not give to me. They won't. But can you create an environment where I can deliver it? Because once you understand that I, Kanchengo, I have graduated 14 years ago, I do not qualify for any loan. I do not qualify for a house. And it's not because I haven't been working hard. No, working hard is not the same as having access. I've been working hard my life. I'm even tired. And it's not me alone. It's many of us. And if we do not contextualize the historical background where these people are coming from, we are there reciting our criteria, our standard, we will never achieve the economic inclusion that we seek. The historical context has to be factored in. It's very important. Beautiful people. Welcome to the business and economic segment. Ah, man, it's beautiful. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing, colleagues. It's amazing. So we have to do this. So we have to contextualize things. And I'm not saying go to my village and pick anybody. No. When I talk to my northern business people and I tell them that, please, I don't want you to go to your village and get your cousin to run your company. No. I want you to go get your cousin and expose him to certain training. Send him to go study accounting, a diploma, and bring him to run your company. Because many of the northern business people, they have a lot of buzz. But you know what they do? They go home at the village and they pick any lady. And it's true, it's not men they pick ladies. And they put them in the bar to sell. This person has no customer services, no basic customer services. This person has never been exposed. So they'll be there treating customer like whatever. So I'm not saying that. No, I'm saying there are Namibians who are entering your offices. And this Namibian have gained some knowledge. They went to school. Some of them, they even working. They have 10 years experience working in the same field. And you are telling them you can't give them a loan because they do not have a company for 2 years or a financial for 2 years. The main reason they were working for 10 years is to gain experience so they can run the company. And now they gain 10 years of experience, then they start the company, then they go and look for capital, then the bank, then the asset manager saying, give us your 5 month financial records. Dude, I was working for 10 years to gain experience, you were asking me. Because I didn't have the foundation. So I have to go for school, for university for 4 years. For freaking 4 years. Then after 4 years, I go work for a certain company. So I get out to operate a machine. Then now I have 5 years. I just want the capital. And when I come to you, to your office, you tell me, my criteria says that they have 4 months of financial record. I'm like, my guy, I went to school 4 years because I couldn't. My economic background was destroyed. My economic foundation was destroyed. They said we cannot keep animals anymore. They said the economy, the north is full of disease. We cannot sell our meat anymore. So we are keeping cattle for fun. So I went to school to learn something. So can you give me capital, please? But if you do not understand my economic background, where I'm from, and if you do not contextualize it, you are the same dude. We're gonna celebrate for selling 2 billion worth of gold to South Africa. Beautiful people. Beautiful people. Let us have a conversation. One of the most difficult conversations. Colleagues, let us have a conversation. A very difficult conversation. All I'm asking is to say that if the people that's supposed to facilitate economic building and inclusion, have no knowledge of the economic atrocity. Now listen to my keyword. Economic atrocity that were done to Namibians and to African. They cannot empower them. Because why are they empowering them? Why are we even having the word empowerment? Guys, I want you to differentiate between the word empowerment and donation. In Namibia, all you are hearing, who donated what? And that's why we are not changing, we are not moving. You gave that community food today, you donated. Tomorrow they're going to be again wanting food. But if you could empower them, they will be on their own. But you will only empower them if you understand the economic atrocity they faced that brought them to be at such a level. So many times I refer to the Sun people and to the kids of exile. I say, I want you people to understand the context. Before you say, oh my goodness, they are lazy. No, the Sun people, you took them from Etosha where they were hunting. That is where you took them. They were getting their own meat. They were having their food. And you brought them in this economy without giving them the skill. Then you are now looking at them. The Sun people are lazy. Oh my goodness. Dude, you are the one who are not informed. You took them from the best economy they have. They had the skills to hunt. Then you brought them in what we call a free market economy, where you did not even give them capital. So until you understand where these people are coming from, you will not empower them adequately. And it will take 20 years for you to empower such a generation to build a better foundation so they can be at the same level as everybody. So just because government spend 1 million on the Sun people, oh, we created a department in government for the Sun people. No, it will take 20 years of a proper project, empowerment project, educational project, capital project, for them to build a beautiful economic foundation that they will keep passing on to the next generation. And until you do that, you have not empowered them. So I'm saying, understanding the historical context of why Namibian people are these, where they are, many of them, it will be critical in molding, in formulation, our laws. Because we want to create an economic foundation. For me to buy a mine, I should have been empowered for the last 20 years. From my great great to the great great to the great great. If the biggest company in Namibia was started by a family, in case you think I'm just talking nonsense, the biggest company in Namibia was owned by what? It's owned by a family. From a great great uncle to a great great uncle who was given what and what and what. And they continue to dominate because they are standing on the strongest foundation. Now you expect me, Kanchego, from Okwalondo, nothing, nothing. And Kama Kanchego should just work hard. Kanchego is just lazy. My guy, I'm coming from no foundation. I'm coming from the sand. I emerge like from the sand. So that's why. You telling me to compete with a family that owned the economy for the last 30 years. And you're like, no, you should just work hard. And just go to school. If you do not have the historical economic context of what the people has gone through, you will be the same guy signing an agreement that give up the land for 90 years to some guys to work so that they can provide employment to your people. And I just like, wow. Wow, man. To my ancestors, what happened? Until you understand the historical context, especially the economic one. Beautiful people. And maybe just to add, do you know that the red line was started a long time ago? I think the thing is 50 or 60 or 70 years old. Meaning that the economic constraint were there already a long time ago. My man, my geez, man. It's so hard because I look at the people when they are asking questions like, how many experience do you have? When was your company started? So, you know, and I like, my guy. Man, do you understand? Do you understand? I want you to focus on my capability. Because once you understand my historical background of no economic foundation, that I just come from Ohambo, a cattle post, somewhere in Okamatapati, and now I'm forced to come in Windhoek because, you will not ask me how many years of experience do I have. Ask me, do I have the capability? Do I have the mindset to deliver this good to you? That is all I want you to focus on. Because once you see me speaking my bad English there in your boardroom, you already know where I'm from. You already know, my G. You already know. Don't be like, okay, Corona was a company started. How many degrees do you have? Dude, I was looking after cattle when people are going to school. But you forced me. You said my cattle were worthless. You said my grandmother field is worthless. I should leave it and come to Windhoek because I live in a communal area. And again, you come and fenced off all of the communal land that we have. Now I have nothing. And I'm coming to a bank. I want 1 million. And you are telling me I should have a collateral. Then you have no historical context. You have no idea of who I am. And how can I trust you to empower me? How can I trust you to build an economy that includes me when you do not know the historical context that I went through? Ah, man, it's beautiful. It's amazing. It's amazing. So, a leader should have a history, understanding of the Namibian history. A CEO of a bank should have that. Any investment promoter should know that. Because the current economic promoters and investment promoters, they are there telling people, we have diamonds, we have uraniums. Yeah, ne? It's amazing. It's amazing. The one of the key factors that we need to look at is this, that guys, we have economic historical injustice done. The foundation of many Namibian people was destroyed. And if we understand that in a nutshell, that is going to be the starting point. You know, for my SWAPO colleagues, we fought for this country. That's what they use. But collectively, all of us, we have something to use. That we all suffered the economic injustice. All of us, we have it. And if we can collectively agree to that, that we make policies. You know, Tate Kanjo, I applaud you for telling IMF to go to hell. I applaud, but you just used petrism for me. I didn't want you to use that. No transparency is needed. It's not only for the Europeans, it's for Namibian. I wanted to applaud you to say, that is good, my G, but you are saying transparency. Transparency is not only for the Europeans, it's for Namibians. Especially when we want to build an inclusive economy. We want you to tell Namibian that when you gave up 20% that thing in the south, the Ngai Kaiba, 20% for green hydrogen. Where is the green hydrogen going? We want you to tell us that. Not the European, us. And who are the Namibians? How is the inclusion? So, you know, at this juncture, colleagues, we have a collective wound that we all need to fix. And if we are to build, to go build generational wealth for our kids and for whoever, we need to use that wound. We need to use that pain, that economic pain of not owning a horse. You can only leave to the north for come and work in Ocho and go back. You are not having freedom to walk around and to do whatever. We all have that collectively. Now, can we use it to build an inclusive economy that fix that? The foundation that our kids need. Guys, I have so many kids who want to go do things. But my grandmother didn't give me anything. So has my grandfather. So I have nothing to give to my kids right now. All I do is just scream, yeah, because I have nothing. I'm embarrassed. I'm economically frustrated because I have nothing to give them. Because my parents didn't give me any foundation. So with that, colleagues, that was my presentation today. Thank you so much for choosing us. And I also encourage you, man, read the Villager newspaper. Like for today, it is beautiful articles, economic articles, for you to educate and to inform yourself. So you can ask questions and start doing what needs to be done. join in the conversation, participate, ask questions, attend the consultation. Economic building need all of us. So thank you to Eagle FM for giving us a platform to talk and to discuss and to fix and to correct each other. So with that, colleagues, the Northern team is waiting that the Nalvand and Uncle Fly. So thank you for choosing us, and let us continue the conversation and have a very good night.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Ipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite okoye ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Ono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nuneo do, o tukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa, nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe mbali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa, nora etatu natu, bali o etatu watatu, o mafelane Eagle FM, the eye.
Do you have a question you want answered on air? Have a quick comment you want to share with the presenter? Eagle FM's SMS line is now open. Send your questions and thoughts to 1040. That's 1040 for only $1.50.
Traditionally, the midterm was a platform where